Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Okay, what'd I miss?
Oh, I mean, nothing.
No, I just...
It's been a quiet week.
Has it been quiet? I mean, let's see. Randy Moss, no, he didn't come back. Logan
Mankins.
That
was close.
Logan Mankins.
It felt like the 22nd pick.
22nd.
In the waivers.
Let me ask you something. Do you really believe, by the way, welcome back, Patriots Playbook here.
Welcome back to you, John.
Thank you.
He doesn't mean that, by the way.
I'm sure he doesn't because, you know, he took the job over on Tuesday and he would like to keep it, and I understand that. I gave him a break.
He's trying to Wally Pip you.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. You know, he had his shot, and Andy came in and was gracious enough, so thanks to Kevin and Andy for their AK-47 debut on Tuesday. We'll have to see if we can reprise that this year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll make a comeback before the year's over. Trust me. And then thanks to Chris Price at WEEI.com for filling in yesterday while I was off doing college football stuff. I did have a good game last night, by the way.
Yeah.
But Randy Moss was watching that one
and
saw that he had fallen down, obviously, to 22nd. I'm thinking, what really would have happened had he fallen all the way to 32? Did you guys talk about that at all? Do you really think the Patriots would have taken him had he fallen the entire way? Or would they have let him go and then he could have cut a free agent deal? I mean, what would have benefited the Patriots more?
No, I think they would have considered bringing him in.
Off the waiver wire?
If it got down to 32 and they, you know, could...
Well, here's the catch that I thought of, and then I think
they wouldn't have picked him up. They would have not taken him at 32, thereby letting Minnesota pick up his salary and then sign him as a free agent.
Right. And but at the same time, though, had they taken him off the waiver wire and they didn't re-sign him for next year, wouldn't they have received a compensatory pick?
That's why
I was thinking about this.
Not sure.
I was trying to think. I mean, obviously, it's all moot. It's all, you know, water under the bridge now. But I'm just thinking, I wonder if it actually got down to 32, what would happen? Would they say, okay, let's take him? Because I thought that if they took him off the waiver wire and they did not re-sign him,
he would be considered a free agent.
He would have been a free agent. You'd get a compensatory pick.
So
you would have gotten two picks out of him. How great would that have been?
Oh, man.
So that's why I think I think they would have done that rather than just let him go through and then sign him as a free agent.
Huh.
I think they would have taken him off the wire.
I hadn't even considered that.
But anyway, I just that was one of the things that occupied my mind while I was, you know, sitting at BWI for 4 hours on Tuesday afternoon. I would much rather have been here with you guys. But, you know, one of those things where, I'm sorry, our flight is delayed due to mechanical difficulties. And I'm like, oh, my God, can I have a piece of rope now? You know, and just had to sit there. So there wasn't anything I could do. And by the time I realized that there was nothing else I could do, I wanted to pick up the phone and call into the show, and it was already after 4 o'clock. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I just said, this is not going to be a great trip. But it turned out to be okay. So at any rate, all right, so we have Randy Moss gone finally. He's done. We don't get to see him again this year, but Logan Mankins is back.
Yeah, don't get to see him unless there's a playoff matchup.
Right, unless there's a playoff matchup with Tennessee. Mankins is back, and I think nobody's surprised that he's back, but I'm sure there still has to be some mild surprise that he's back a couple of weeks earlier than he really
Certainly.
Had to be. And he didn't really expand upon that yesterday.
I was asked about it and refused to.
Didn't want to talk about his reasons,
his rationale for coming back.
The thing that gets me is that, you know, we find out after the fact, and this is what it just struck me as odd. We find out after the fact, Eric, that he's been here the whole time. He didn't go out to California. He said so.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, so... He didn't go out to California at all. He's been here. He's been at his home down the street, basically, you know, all this time. And he chooses now to come back? Why now as opposed to, you know, 2 weeks from now or 2 weeks ago?
It's a good question.
Has anybody surmised, anybody offered anything up in conjecture?
We talked about it in the locker room a little bit yesterday.
Okay.
And the only, it sounds a little silly, but as a parent, he may have wanted to come back after the Halloween game to take his kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it was the first time he got to do it or something. And No, you wouldn't have been able to.
Actually, that makes sense. First time he's had a chance to
if
do it.
If he came
it,
back
or,
before then, he would have been out of the loop.
Yeah, that's true, because he would have been playing.
Right, and maybe he wanted to come back.
Wouldn't have been able to enjoy the holiday
right.
with his kids.
Because
now,
he would have had to come back before Thanksgiving, so that game was already off the table.
Right. Okay.
So maybe he just figured, let me at least get one holiday out of it, and we're going to leave on Christmas Day to go to Buffalo, so that
right.
day's going to be cut short a little bit.
That's right.
And so maybe that was the only reason we could think of. And he doesn't want to obviously come out and say that, because then that would make him look a little bit,
so,
you know, silly.
I guess we all now understand.
Selfish, whatever.
We all understand now, though, what it's like when you have time on your hands. You think these things through. Or at least you try to, right?
Yeah.
So it appears that Logan did some thinking.
Yeah.
Now, the other.
And that, again, that's just our silly.
Sure.
That's the only reason we could think of.
But you know what, though? It makes perfect sense to me, you know, as a dad who has had kids mm-hmm. in the past. That have gone trick-or-treating, and I know. In fact, you know, at the game on Sunday, I actually had my son with me because, you know, doing the spotting, as you met Austin, simply because, you know, he's gotten past the trick-or-treating age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my normal spotter has, John Zanini has younger kids, age 7 and 5, respectively. He didn't want to miss the day, and I said, I don't blame you. So he took off, you know, mm-hmm. with the kids. Totally get that. Totally understand that. Now, here's the other thing that I was wondering about, you know, Mankin's coming back. You know, it's great, you know, and everybody's applauding, and everybody's, oh, it's great to have you back, and the guys in the locker room are all happy to see him and everything. How do you feel if you're Dan Connolly?
I think you understand that you had a chance to start some games, get
but
some experience.
But did he play that badly?
He didn't, no, but...
You're just not an all-pro.
You're just not an all-pro.
Okay.
And you're also, by the way, the starting fullback when it's in short yardage and goal line situations. So, you know, that told me a lot when throughout the season he would take out his starting left guard and put him at fullback
mm-hmm.
and replace the left guard position with his fourth stringer, essentially,
mm-hmm.
Because Mankins won. Kasher was going to be the guy.
Ryan Wendell.
Got hurt, and then it was Connolly.
Yeah.
And Wendell comes in now.
Yeah.
So... You know, I think if you're Connolly, you just are appreciative of the whole opportunity. You got some great experience as a starter. You know, we said it a couple of years ago when Hochstein was traded, but Dan Connolly became the new Russ Hochstein for this team.
Right.
Versatile, athletic, backup offensive lineman who can do some things on special teams, on offense. And, you know, you're just appreciative for the opportunity and for the steady work, the paycheck. You get some playing time here and there. You're part of a winning organization. But the guy ahead of you was a first-round pick and a two-time Pro Bowler. It's his job.
Right. I guess, well, again, it goes back to the old adage, you know, generally speaking, if you miss time for injury or whatever, you shouldn't generally lose your job. Although I think we all know that if your replacement outperforms you, you do lose your job mm-hmm. in this business. That's what this business is.
Right.
Fair to say then that Dan Connolly hasn't outperformed what they thought they could get from Logan Mankins.
I don't think he's outperformed. I don't think he's drastically underperformed either, but I think... Maybe there's more consistency. Maybe there's more of an attitude that Mankins brings that's lacking from this O-line unit right now. Whenever Mankins was on the field, he was clearly the toughest SOB out there. And, you know, totally different personality off the field than on the field. But
right.
on the field, he gave that O-line a personality
right.
that has kind of lacked since he's been absent.
Right, gotcha.
And he's definitely, you know, skill-wise, I think he's the best O-lineman they have, so you can't keep him out if he's back and available.
So what you're basically doing is you're welcoming back, you know, the one of the top, not only, you know, guards in the league, certainly your best all-around offensive lineman, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that sense. Okay. I'm just pure conjecture here for the sake of conjecture.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, obviously the Patriots are a little bit more whole. Do I think it's going to result in 50 more yards or two more touchdowns a game? No. But at the same time, it's probably going to give a lot of confidence to that offensive line. It's probably going to give more confidence to Tom Brady. The O-line had allowed 12 sacks in 7 games, so right at roughly 2 per game,
a little under
2 per
yep.
game, which is in the top, what, 6 or 7 in
it's
the league?
It's pretty high
somewhere,
up there.
Yeah. It's a top mm-hmm. 10, I think, figure mm-hmm. in the league. So, again, you know, you've got reason to believe that things are at least going to, you know, continue to get a little bit better, so you can see a little bit of an upward tick, a little bit of an upward curve there coming offensively. It's clear to see also that over the last few weeks, while we've had some nail-biting moments, that the defense is also continuing to work that same type of curve. Now, I don't know what kind of a scale. I don't know if we're talking a higher scale, lower scale, depending on what your sights are for the defense. I think it's pretty clear to see that there are some guys who are beginning to perform at a level that we weren't sure they were capable of performing.
Right.
One of them being
right.
Devin McCourty.
Right.
And McCourty, obviously, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you and I, Eric, starting to really live up to being a top rank. He looks like a number one pick at corner. Came up with another big play this past weekend against Minnesota. I have to tell you, I've also been impressed with the upward learning curve of Kyle Arrington at the other spot.
Absolutely.
I had a chance to interview Kyle for the season ticket holders in the the club level? Yeah, club level seats. They do a special little press conference after wins for the club level season ticket holders here at the stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I come up and I kind of host it, and they bring up a player of the game, and they had Kyle after the game against Minnesota. And he's just as nice as the day is long.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Very polite, very respectful.
One of our favorite interviews in the locker room.
Very well spoken. You know, it was not afraid to answer, you know, even the tough questions about, you know, the fact that you play cornerback. It's one of the toughest positions to play on a team, much less in football. And you came in and getting time basically because, you know, Darius Butler couldn't get the job done. And he was very, very forthcoming about everything. And I have to admit, you know, I don't think he's Lee Bodden, but at the same time, he's becoming an adequate replacement.
Yes.
It's almost as if we're seeing him learn on the job, and the fact that the team is 6-1 while he's learning on the job. Usually when you learn on the job, that spells tough times. That spells lean times.
Yep.
Like, all right, we're willing to take the hit here so somebody can learn, you know, and eventually be able to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots haven't done that, and that I continue to find remarkable about all of the success that this franchise has had over the course of the last 10 years is the fact that whenever we thought, and I think this year is very similar to 2001 in that respect. I know this analogy has been made. But whenever we think that, you know, we're in for some lean times, we're in for a little bit tougher time here, somebody's going to have to learn trial by fire, all that kind of stuff, doesn't happen. Usually there's someone there to pick you up, but the team still wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's why, you know, I bet my tongue. Obviously, I picked Minnesota to win by a point last week. I'm sorry that I did. It's the first time that I really, you know, I wanted to take the Patriots, and my sense told me otherwise.
Hmm.
And, you know, during the course of the game, I kept thinking, you know what, I'm going to blow this because I think the Patriots were clearly the better team on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota's not bad. I don't think they're as bad as 2-5 would indicate. But, you know, I just think that Minnesota is just woefully mismanaged, and both in a game sense as well as, you know, management sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously is a situation that'll have to work itself out. That's their mess they have to clean up. But the talent on that field still is there.
There are a lot of teams I think you could put in that category
probably,
this year.
Probably.
And,
but the Patriots are taking advantage of this.
And on the flip side, John.
Yes.
There are a lot of teams who are doing well who you look at and say, how in the world
are they getting it done? How are they doing it?
It's a weird year all around. And
well,
you're right. The Patriots are benefiting from that. They're winning the games they have to win.
I think they're winning a couple of games that we didn't think they would win either.
Right.
Certainly the last two fall in that category.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably throw Baltimore in that category too. We didn't think they'd win it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. So here's the thing. I believe that parity is certainly a huge, huge reason behind everything that's going on in the NFL. And it certainly benefited the Patriots. Teams are more equal. Teams have dispersed the talent. But the teams that continue to do the little things, teams that continue to really mine the lower rounds or upper rounds, whichever you prefer, of the NFL draft, look for the quote-unquote street free agents, find the contributors, these are attributes of how this franchise and how this current team was built back in the early 2000s. They haven't strayed. Well, they might have strayed a little bit.
07.
07, they strayed a little bit. But that was a unique year. You had to take a shot, and they were, you know, an unbelievably lucky catch away from being known as the best team in NFL history. Seriously.
Yes, absolutely.
They were a lucky catch away from being known as the best team all time in the National Football League.
Yep.
So I don't blame them for taking a shot in particular that year. But this team has gotten back to its roots, and it's paying off. And so I guess, you know, I've always been one, and I know you've always been one, and there have been some other, you know, regulars to the show, emailers, fans, people over the last 10 years of show that we've done, so that we've done the show, that have always said, you know, in Bill we trust. And I've always been a naysayer to that. You know, I'm like, well, why should we? This is our job to point these things out. It's our job to question these things. That's what journalists do. That's what talk show hosts do. That's what rabid fans do. It's like, well, how come you do it this way? And, of course, the answers are never completely forthcoming. And so we're left to conjecture and we're left to our own opinions based on the actions that we see. This year, Eric, I'm more convinced than ever. And, Bill, you should trust.
So far, it's working. Yeah.
You know, and I never thought I'd really say that. But I have no other explanation for why this team is 6-1. I really don't. I've got no other explanation for it. You know, as we were just talking about with the guys during PFW, and, you know, you asked me, all right, are the Patriots, you know, are they at the top of the Rook power rankings? Well, yeah, by default. Because right now, I don't think there is a true Super Bowl favorite in the NFL. You can throw the Patriots in there probably with four or five other teams that you could say, I could see them winning the Super Bowl right now. And you know what? In the next couple of weeks, that list of five or six potential Super Bowl teams could grow or it could
shrink.
Get smaller.
Yeah.
We don't know. And that is the truly amazing thing about this football season. We don't know which way it's going to turn. That's why I'm loving football right now. This is exciting as heck. And to have your team, the team that we follow, the team that we're fans of here, to have your team in the middle of it is all good, because we didn't, you know, right now I thought this team would be 3-4. Honestly, I looked back at the schedule and I looked at it as objectively as I possibly could, and I said through seven games this team was 3-4. And that they would start making some headway this week against Cleveland. That's, they get back to even, they pull probably back within like two games of the division lead, and then they got to win out, you know, basically, and, you know, 11-5, or certainly no worse than 10-6 to get into the playoffs. And that's what you and I talked about even before the season started, that we thought that that scenario would be a likely scenario.
Yeah.
And here this team is three games ahead of the pace that we thought that they would be setting at this stage. What reason is behind this? I've got no better answer right now than in Bill we should trust.
Well, I think it's what I brought up earlier. This year is unlike any other year we've seen. All the teams we thought were going to be dominant aren't necessarily. Teams we didn't expect to be doing anything are winning games somehow. There's so much parity in the league that it has become what they've always thought. Any team, any week... I mean, that's always been the case, but more so than ever, it's impossible to pick games every week.
No. I don't know how anybody has a real, I mean, you know, I haven't looked at this week's standings in PFW. By the way, great cover photo on PFW.
Zoltan Mesko kicking the Viking in the face.
Oh my God, that's an all-time picture right there.
Yeah.
That's an all-time picture. You know what? I mean, if I didn't know any better, that's Steve Grogan kicking a Viking in the face. You know?
I know. You're right.
Number 14.
You're right. Uniforms.
I mean, do yourself a favor. If you're not a subscriber, you gotta figure out a way to get a copy this week.
Yeah.
Subscribe. But figure out a way to get it, because that's an unbelievable cover. That's a cover.
Jim Mahoney was the photog who took that.
Outstanding job by Jim. What a great photo. That sucker is suitable for framing.
Sure
and the
is.
Headline, in your face.
Yep.
I love it. That is just so excellent. That's so cool. And it really sort of personifies how I feel about this team.
And
this team
has
exceeded expectations.
Yep.
And so what they're doing to the entire NFL right now is in your face.
And to its doubters,
yes,
including us.
Yes, and you know what? I gladly welcome that. All those guys down the hallway can gladly say in your face right now. That's fine. I got no problem with it. You know, maybe in some small way, you know, all these guys around here contributed to this. You know, like the bulletin board material.
It
from
It started
a few weeks
when we
ago.
Went to Miami, right?
Yeah,
PFW is
yeah.
responsible for the turnaround.
And you guys all picked Miami
in PFW. We trust
PFW. That's right. You all picked Miami. It was bulletin board material for those guys. And
they went and blew out the Dolphins.
Blew out the Dolphins, and it has not been the same since.
Yep. They got rid of Moss 2 days later. After that, you know, after that Miami game, and
right.
You're right, it hasn't been the same since.
It's
all thanks to PFW. So in PFW, we trust.
Why not? I mean, honestly, I'm looking for reasons, scratching my head. I'm trying to figure this out. I can't come
we're
up with a better
We're approaching
reason.
The midpoint of the season. This game will be game
eight.
Well,
this is game eight, so we will be.
So for New England, it's the exact midpoint of their season.
Right.
It's been the most bizarre run. I mean, 2007 was magical. This is bizarre. This whole season has been bizarre.
It's because you can't base this on any one or even two factors, like, okay, dominating offense. Well, okay, it leads the NFL in scoring, but has it really dominated? No.
Right.
No. Okay, great defense. Well, no.
No, they're giving up chunks of yardage every game.
Yeah, you're going back to the old bend but don't break theorem back in the early 2000s.
Right. They played the team in San Diego that was number one in both offense and defense and was 2-5 going into that game or whatever, two and four.
Phillip Rivers threw for three Bills plus.
Right.
And you still win. Yeah.
So given the way things have gone, Eric, you don't think that you don't have that same magical type feeling that you had in years previous?
Well, it's a different type of magical. It's preposterous how these things are happening.
It's
07 was almost preordained. And you were waiting for the coronation. You knew they were going to be good.
They were
going
to be dominating.
They were good. They were better than everybody thought.
And we were waiting for the coronation that never came.
Right.
Right.
This year it's just been a complete
shock.
Shocker, exactly.
It's been a shock.
By the way, I think I got to give you credit. I think when we were talking before the Vikings game, I think you hit the amount of Patriots points right on the head.
I did. I said 28-27.
That's impressive.
That's 28-18. You're as close as anybody, probably. Right?
But I got to give you props for that.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job out of you. Did you pick the Patriots this week?
I did.
Okay. All right, we'll give the pick. I wanted to get back into some of that simply because I apologize we're going over old stuff because I haven't been around for the last couple of days.
No, don't worry about it. It's still the talk of the town.
Well, I figured as much, number one. By the way, one of the things that doesn't, it never ceases to amaze me is the fact that every week of the season, we got major story items to talk
about. My commentary in the next week, issue.
Next week's issue?
Next week's issue is about that very topic. I go over everything that happened every week so far.
It's been unbelievable. This week we had Moss waived, and then, you know,
that was the story for a couple of hours until
Mankins came back. And then the Mankins comes back and basically one-ups that one. It's been unbelievable. What's next week's story? Can you predict?
They're playing Pittsburgh next week.
Oh.
It's the game of the year in the NFL so far.
That's right. Well, the next 2 weeks.
Followed by the game of the year in the NFL the week after that when they play the Colts.
The next 2 weeks, the games themselves should be big stories.
You hope.
Should be, right?
You hope.
Yeah, as long as somebody doesn't get hurt, knock on Formica. You know? Wow. That's right. Pittsburgh and then Indy. This is getting good, man.
Then quick turnaround. Thanksgiving. Everybody is, you know, carving the turkey, watching us at the Lions.
At the Lions game. That's right.
Then a little bit of a breather.
Right. Then you got
And then Monday Night Football against the Jets.
Then Jets. Correct. Unbelievable.
And then the final month of the season.
Wow. I mean, it's going to be bang, bang, bang for the next three to 4 weeks.
My only, and I write this in the column, is we've had this wealth of news and information and just storylines every week this year.
A little bit of a sneak peek here, by the way. Next week's PFW.
Yeah, a little bit of a that's why the previous show's called PFW In Progress.
There
we talk
go.
About what's going on.
Beautiful.
I hope this isn't the football gods giving us an overabundance of entertainment now for the poverty that we're about to experience very soon.
I worry
that we're being blessed early and are going to have to pay the piper later. You know, I mean, our owner, Robert Kraft, was quoted in the newest issue of Fortune magazine, once again reiterating his optimism that a deal is going to get done sooner rather than later.
Right.
I keep hearing all this, and I'm hoping that by the holiday season, you know, before the end of the year, before the playoffs start, we can have that peace of mind going into the playoffs.
That we all have a Christmas present.
Yes, yes. That the league and the players give their fans and those of us who are in their employ the best of Christmas presents by saying, yep, we've agreed. There's going to be football again for many years to come. There's labor peace yet again. And it's been such a bizarre season, John, that I worry that it's, you know, we're being treated now for what's to come. I hope I'm wrong about that.
I need to ask you a question. Have you guys internally had any discussions about what happens if the league shuts down, locks out the players?
Not substantive talks, no. We've brought up the issue and said, you know, we're going to have to figure out a plan, but we haven't really.
Would it be a temporary layoff, you think, if there's no football?
I don't even want to begin to speculate.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out hope that we won't have to worry
about
that.
Do that. Right, right. Look, you're looking at somebody else that's affected here, too.
Yep.
No
yep.
games to do, you know, no check coming in, right?
Right?
It's all, you know, it's a little bit of different scenario. It's one thing when you're a fan and you can't go to the games or enjoy the games, or, you know, you're a season ticket holder and, you know, you can always hold on to your money and apply it to when they play games again. But
right.
What about the people that, you know, are affected by the daily employ?
Yeah. And it would be a major hit to the, not just the NFL, but to the whole economy.
Sure.
Because the NFL is such a big part of that, that, I think they know it's in their best interest to get something done, and I'm holding out hope that they will come to their senses, both sides, get it done. But it's just been such a, you know, the uncapped. It started with the uncapped because they didn't, you know, want to pick up the option for the final year of the CBA, and it's just been so. It's unlike anything I've ever seen in football, John. The whole season, it's been unlike anything I've ever experienced.
It has been bizarre. It's just been bizarre.
For a prolonged period of time.
Right.
You know, there have been other bizarre incidents.
Not
that have
bizarre,
come up, but
bad, just bizarre.
Just, yeah, unpredictable.
Yeah.
It's almost like writing the plot to a daytime soap opera.
I don't disagree.
The plots are so absurd.
Right.
Like, Brady comes to week one. Brady is driving to work the day he's going to sign the biggest contract in history. He gets into a car crash.
Right.
And is lucky to survive, lucky not to get hurt. I mean, just how can you make that up?
You can't. It's the kind of
the
stuff
Moss that, thing after the first game, then
kind of,
a second
kind of
time
that Hollywood
after the,
would reject.
Yes, because it'd be too implausible, too far-fetched.
Right, exactly. Amazing.
And yet it's all happening. And amidst it all, New England is 6-1.
6-1. That's the most unbelievable thing. We're just along for the ride here. Webradio at patriots.com. That, of course, is how you reach us via email. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. I would ask for your emails today, certainly about anything, any of the aforementioned subject we've talked about, whether that it's Mankins or Moss or the schedule, the way it's playing out, or the unpredictability of this year, or whether or not, you know, the Patriots in your mind are truly the number one team in your own power ranking in the NFL. I would also ask you for your predictions for this Sunday's game at Cleveland, and I feel like it's going to go probably one-sided, but if you have a score you'd like to throw in, tell me why you're going to pick that score. And that's what we usually do here on
Thursdays.
So
you're not in the boat of the with all the people that think this is going to be a close,
game,
hard-fought, tightly contested game?
No.
I like it.
I think the Patriots roll.
I hope so.
Now, again, this is the first time I've said this year.
I know, that's why I'm acting
And this
so
is
shocked.
Really, this is absolutely, this is no disrespect to Cleveland. You know, Cleveland is probably not quite as good as some of the teams the Patriots have faced. And, of course, we all know that things somehow find a way to change when you go on the road. The road is a strange bedfellow. And so, I'm decided this week. I wanted to do it last week against Minnesota, and I hesitated. I'm not hesitating this week.
All right.
Now, it could be because of the unpredictability and the surprise of the season that I'm dead-ass wrong.
Right.
And the next week, it's kind of like, Rook, you jinxed him. Oh, yeah. How could you? Well, I'm just sorry. I can't do that. I'm just not going to look away this time. And I think the Patriots are going to roll this week. I'm not quite sure on the score. I got to give it a little bit more thought. But I'm thinking that this team, you know, it's probably a fairly close game for the first half. I think they'll pull away in the third quarter and probably win by at least two scores.
I could see that.
That's at least what
I'll give you my score later.
Okay, fair enough. Let's sneak a timeout in here. Then we will obviously at the top of the next hour, Russell Baxter will join us to go over the NFL schedule for week number 8. And
week 9 actually.
Oh, it is week 9. This is game
8th game.
Game 8 for the Patriots. That's
week
right.
Nine.
Week 9.
Yeah.
Thank
He's
you.
Still in Tampa.
I always forget. I am still in Tampa. And I was getting up this morning at, you know, 4:30, you know, to be able to get to the airport.
Speaking
and all that
of
kind
props,
of
I got to give you props for coming in to do the show today too. Cause
why?
That's tough. That's a long day.
Well, I kept getting hammered on my Facebook page about where are you? Where are you? This is the best show. You, where are you? Okay, well, I gotta get back.
Job security.
Believe me, I've had those issues over the last 2 days too, and a couple of other things. So.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it just it happens. I mean, you know, it flipping happens. And what are you gonna do? It's the nature of the business, the nature of what we do. And so I'm like, you know what? I got to get back. So I need to get back into a routine. I feel safer when I'm in a routine. So could I have bugged out on you? Absolutely. Not going to do it. So there you go. I'm here. You got me. Let me hear from you. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Facebook, too. We'll continue in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. BankofAmerica.com/Patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Oh, I love that. Drew Carey. What a great stuff. Drew Carey Show. Cleveland rocks.
Figured it was appropriate.
Yeah, I think that is very good. Very good job out of you. You know, I don't think that they'll rock too much this Sunday, but nevertheless, no, that's an appropriate.
You ever been to the Rock and Roll Hall?
I have, and it's outstanding.
I have too.
Outstanding.
Worth the trip?
Oh, totally. You know what the coolest thing is? You go up to the Heritage Radio Station section where all the, you know, old-time radio stations that used to spin the discs, the 45s and everything. There's, you know, old station that you and I used to work for, WPRO.
They're in there?
Listed very prominently in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah. You know who else used to be a disc jockey for WPRO Channel 63 on the AM side? If you don't know this, this will stun you.
Go ahead.
Used to spin records,
yeah,
literally records as a DJ, top 40 DJ on Pro AM.
Okay.
Think New York Yankees.
Player?
No.
Or
John Sterling.
Oh.
Voice of the Yankees.
John Sterling. No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Remember the first time that I interviewed him, and it's probably been 20 years ago, Eric. He said, oh, good to talk to somebody again from old Channel 63, WPRO. And I'm like,
wow.
Oh, so you know us. And he goes, know you? Hell, I worked there back in the 60s. I spend discs.
Wow.
So I didn't, nobody at the station knew that. And so I'm thinking, well, I got to go back and do some research. So I looked through some old archives. And sure enough, John Stern, I think it was like 1964 to 66, 67, somewhere in there. Yeah. Yeah, voice of the Yankees.
Wow.
Actually, and, you know, he was a part of that rock and roll era that made PRO a heritage station to get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow, before it turned to the talk format.
Well, they didn't flip completely to talk until, early 90s.
I was going to say, yeah.
It was like 80s, around 80, 89, 90, right around in there, 91 maybe even. So it's only it's been 20 years since they became news talk or talk.
Yeah.
But they were still doing... music during the days, during daytime hours when I moved to Rhode Island in 1988.
Hmm.
It was still spinning records during the day.
When you were on the WPRO Sports Beat.
Well, I actually, that used to be before WPRO Sports Beat was, you know, Chuck Wilson on Sports.
Chuck Wilson on Sports, that's right. And he went to ESPN Radio?
He went to ESPN Radio, and I renamed Chuck Wilson on Sports Beat.
Mm-hmm.
That was the name that I had given it. And I sort of borrowed it from the old Sports Beat show that was on Channel 38, WSBK in Boston.
Oh.
You know, just a little history here. But I actually, you know, it was called Sports Beat on 38, but I actually took the name from KTRH Sports Beat, which is in Houston. And the host of that show was one Jerry Trupiano, who I was his intern.
Really?
Yes. Now you know all there is to know about radio history.
Wow.
How about that? And he hosted with a gentleman by the name of John Breen, who was a former general manager of the Houston Oilers back in the 60s. He hosted KTRH Sports Beat 79, and that was the name of the show. And so I said, well, I like the name Sports Beat. So that's I did that, and I remember the PD at the time.
Applicable because you talked about every sport.
Of course.
You were on the entire sports
Absolutely.
Beat.
But the guy who was the PD at the time at PRO said, well, why are you calling it something that's already on Channel 38? And I said, you know what? It's still a good name. It works. And besides, if people want to confuse it, so what? Let them confuse it. It only helps
only
us.
Only benefit you. Yeah.
Yeah, it only helps us, so.
Hmm.
Okay, that's boring. Enough of that.
Oh, but we had to go on a tangent. It was time.
You and that's true. God, did we make it through over half an hour
without a tangent?
Without a tangent?
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Well, without a useless tangent. Anyway.
Well, that's semi-useless. It's also semi-useful, I think. All right, a couple of emails. Let me share these with you. This one comes from Toussaint, who says, "Hey, Rook, where have you been? You didn't tell me you were on a bye this week." This is just a sampling of the things that I've gotten this week, okay, because I missed for college football.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know your thoughts on the Pats there. 6-1, we just got Mangan's Bank. Are the Pats the real deal or what? I am biased. I think they're going to win every game, but give it to me straight. Are the Pats the best team in football? No. Is that good enough for you?
I don't think that's what he's looking for.
No, I'm sure he's not. But I will reiterate, though.
He did ask for honesty, though.
Yes, he did.
That's what you gave him.
And I will reiterate what we've been talking about already, and we mentioned at the tail end of PFW that, you know, yeah, they're at the top of my power rankings, but, you know, that and a dollar still won't get you a cup of coffee in most diners nowadays. We have to move up with the times. It used to be that, and, you know, in a dime or a nickel get you a cup of coffee.
Right,
no.
Right.
That was
cost of living adjustment.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, that's 1950s. What are we talking about here? Cup of coffee was a nickel in the 1950s.
Right.
I am, of course, a child of the 50s, so, you know, I did want to put that in there. I was born when Dwight Eisenhower was president. And I'm getting off on another tangent.
At least you're younger than Paul Perillo.
Ha! That's right, I am. All right, so what was I talking about? Jet lag is starting to
set in. The Patriots not being the best team in football.
Yes. I put them up at the top of the power rankings because they got the best record in football. But, again, that doesn't mean a lot. Like I said, you know, it's not worth the price that, you know, that you print on it. But, you know, we will find out the best team in football next week. If the Patriots can go on the road, if they first of all, they got to beat Cleveland. They got to win at Cleveland. You know, you could see them, you know, given the unpredictability of this year, could you see them go in and lose to Cleveland? Yeah, I could.
Yep.
Do I think it's going to happen? No. But I could see it, and it wouldn't shock me. Nothing's going to shock me about this team right now. Even going into Pittsburgh next week and winning, that won't shock me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect it'll happen, but if they can win in Cleveland and win in Pittsburgh, then yes, they're the best team in pro football. Because right now, I kind of agree with Fred, believe it or not. I think Pittsburgh's right up there. Pittsburgh certainly stubbed their toe. I still think the Jets are right up there, quite frankly, although that was an abysmal performance they put up this last week against Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody could believe that they got shut out at home.
I know.
I still can't believe they got shut out at home.
I know.
How can they put up two offensive stinkers like they did against Green Bay and against Baltimore in the season opener? It just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
But they did. So, again, because of the unpredictability, you know, do I think they're the best team right now? No. Could they be? Could we be talking about that another week or two? Absolutely. Listen, if they could get through Cleveland and Pittsburgh and be 8-1, well, then I hate to think, I mean, it's rightful that the enthusiasm for this team starts to blow its top.
Mm-hmm.
Because people should be pumped and jacked, to borrow, you know, Pete Carroll's favorite saying.
Right.
People should be pumped and jacked if they can get through these next 2 weeks without a loss. Now, it doesn't mean the season's over if they win this week and lose the following. Season's over if they lose both, although I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, reasonable to assume 7-2, you know, over the course of the next couple of weeks, still going to have them no worse than a tie for first in the AFC East.
Yep.
And they're right where, you know, they need to be, still in position for, potentially anyway, a shot at getting home field advantage in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start talking about that stuff in earnest after we get by the midway point.
Yeah, when you're at the midway point, you start to, you're on the downward slope. So you have to start looking towards the end, the end of the line.
Right.
It's natural, yeah.
Absolutely. Chris in Seattle says, perhaps Mankins returned a bit early because he wanted to be able to perform at a high level starting at the week in which he had to return, which I believe is week 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes back early.
Following the week 10 game.
Right, following the week 10 game. He comes back early, gets some practice in, then starts against the Steelers, an important game, or perhaps the Colts. You think? You know what? Because he's not going to be as forthcoming as we would like him to, and I think this is where he actually, you know, borrowed from the master, Bill Belichick, here.
Mm-hmm.
I think all reasons are probably plausible. I actually like your reason. It makes more sense to me than anything else. He wanted to go trick-or-treating with his kids.
Yeah, and he said he did go. He said, because someone asked him, have you been
watching the games? And it's the only game that he's missed.
And he said, because I wanted to take my kids trick-or-treating.
There you go. So I think that's a plausible reason for coming back now.
And I was thinking, imagine if you're a Patriots fan, you're watching the Vikings game, it's the middle of the third quarter or whatever, it's already dark out, kids are starting to come ringing your doorbell. All of a sudden, you open the door and
it's Logan Mankins.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, trick-or-treat.
I would like to.
And you're like, what are you doing here?
Supposed to be out there? Yeah. Very few people probably recognize him.
Probably, but you know, with that mustache, it's hard to miss him in that size.
Maybe. It's possible. By the way, has there been any talk this week about the Patriots cheerleaders' uniforms on Halloween?
No. Not that I know of.
I wasn't there Tuesday, though, so maybe they did. There were a couple that were fine, but I was largely disappointed.
Why?
I realized that the weather was a little colder, but they were out there the entire first half, which I thought was really brave of them. I thought that was great.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't think they were quite as provocative as other years.
Did you investigate? There were, no, closely.
I did some line of sight stuff, and you know, and there were a couple of very good ones, but it just seemed to me like.
What were your favorite ones?
This year. There was a nurse that was not as provocative as in the past. There was a softball player.
Yes.
That was really good.
Yeah.
She wore those pants extremely well. Extremely well. I thought that was one of the best ones. God, what was the other one? There weren't that many memorable ones. There was another Catwoman, I think, that was there that I didn't like as much as I'd liked in the past.
Yeah.
There was a mummy who was all covered up, which was no good.
No, that wasn't any good
either.
Right? Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose. I don't know, Kevin, was there anything that you liked about the Patriots cheerleaders?
I liked a fair amount of them. Did you see what we did with the item of the week, the license plate?
No.
We had one of the cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah, she framed it. That was smart.
Yes. That was good. That was a good call.
Yeah,
that was a good call. A good call by you guys. That was excellent.
I think the softball player was the one that stood out the most.
Softball player, she was pretty happening.
There was one with like a secret agent costume getup too that had like a gun in her garter. That was kind of cool.
Oh, I must have missed that one. That one didn't
stand
out.
Had that kind of like dangerous element to it.
Femme fatale.
Ah.
My dad was actually at the game and was noticing the cheerleaders, and you know, he wasn't complaining. He was actually there with my mom.
Oh,
and
boy.
Even better. I got him the seats for their anniversary, so that made it even better.
Hey, aren't you a good son?
And so he noticed that, like, during the game, he's like, these cheerleaders are all decked out. They're wearing, like, nothing. And they're right next to you, and you have your back to them the whole game watching, like, Zoltan Mesko warm up instead of looking at them. I was like, hey, I'm doing my job, Dad. He gave me a good amount of grief about that at dinner after that.
Like, son, is there something you need to tell me? Boyfriend coming over for dinner or what? Yeah, okay.
Welcome to PFW in Progress.
Ta-da. All right, this one comes from Chris in Hamilton, who says, John and Kevin and
John
Eric.
And Kevin?
Yeah, it says John and Kevin and Eric. Oh, I'm and Eric. There's all sorts of reasons, but it really comes down to fighting the head office of the Patriots. No one F's with the front office. Simple as that. Thomas tried it. Cut Moss. Cut. He's got no choice but to come back, and after 8 weeks, he's made it clear he's not happy, so now it's time to help win the Super Bowl and get the contract he's looking for. It's totally tactics. After also 2 weeks before the deadline allows him for sure to be on the field before week 10. Mankins on the field for Pittsburgh and Indianapolis will have pushed the law firm's rushing numbers and aid in the protection of what I believe is a close friend of Tom Brady. Okay. By the way, Eric really gets a rough ride from everyone. Yeah, he seems arrogant and a wee bit self-righteous, but he's also got a hell of a lot of football knowledge, and after he's nuked me on Ask PFW before, I can see some errors I've made. Keep up with the good work.
All right, bring it.
That's fair, right?
Bring it, sure.
Fair assessment. See, there you go. You got a hell of a lot of football knowledge, and you've nuked him on Ask PFW.
That's what we're there for.
To prove your superiority.
Yes, right.
I like it. Works for me. Another Mankins follow-up. Forgot to point out, Chris says, that Mankins may want to start off closer to full steam because he wants to win that big contract next year.
Sure. But if that were the case, he could have showed up week one.
Yeah, but then he wouldn't have been able to, for whatever reason, have his point made.
I think he made it pretty well by sitting out of training camp. Deion Branch made the same point, was traded. Remember? Sante Samuel made the same point.
Yeah.
I mean, the point was made when he didn't show up for off-season workouts, when he, you know, went on the tirade and said, you know, brought up people's, questioned people's the veracity and their, the you know, stability of their word and all the things that he said. And to me, though, he seemed very. I don't know if you've seen his press conference from yesterday. Have you?
I read the transcript.
If you get a chance to watch the video, you can sort of gauge his
mannerisms.
I felt there was a little bit of twinge of remorse, maybe, that he may not have approached it entirely perfectly, and given another chance, he might have done things differently, a little bit differently, as far as the things he said.
I think we all have a tendency sometimes to let emotion get the best of us when it comes to being disappointed.
Right.
And so maybe, you know, he sat out because, you know, his emotions told him, well, if they're going to do this to me, I'm going to do this to them.
Right. But the thing that I found encouraging was that he said, I've been here since April. Where if you didn't have any intent on coming back to this region at all, ever, you would have gone back to your original home, your native state of California. So if he was here, he was still associating with his friends and teammates.
What does that tell you?
That I think he kind of all along wanted to come back and was just trying to make a point. Maybe his emotions got the best of him. And I would not rule out the fact that he signs a long-term extension.
Really? After all of this?
After all of this.
You still think that's plausible?
I think it's possible. I'm not saying it's probable, but I think it's possible.
Wow, that would actually,
which in the year of bizarre happenings,
okay, well it would fall
I think
in
it would
line.
Just be par for the course.
Yeah, it would fall
because
in line.
We've said on this show and on the other show that we thought he played his last game as a Patriot.
Right.
Now here he is again, back in the locker room.
Right,
stranger things have happened. I wouldn't rule it out. Wouldn't rule it out, John. And those little signs, the fact that he, you know, the team's doing well. He's back. He's welcomed back. Everyone on the team loves him. He said he's made his peace with the powers that be, and they're all on the same page. If, you know, winning breeds a lot of good feelings, goodwill, you know?
Well, you know, if this, I would say that you probably would stand a better chance of re-signing him if this team has some success later in this year and into the postseason. Obviously, you still have to figure out, you know, whether or not we're going to have a season next year for that to happen.
Because let's not forget, he was the good soldier for 5 years. Started every game, never missed a practice, never missed a snap. The guy was Mr. Everything, you know? He was never a problem on or off the field. You know, it was a couple of things he said in the offseason that sort of turned fans against him and a lot of the sentiment about his situation. But, you know, I think if both sides could go back and start over, I think they would have done this differently, and I think they might have avoided all of this unpleasantness.
Interesting. All right, let me sneak one more in here before we go a little bit more specifically on Cleveland. This comes from Cindy, who says, Johnny, could you pull a few strings so that we could get all the Patriots games in South Florida? I'm tired of looking at the Jets and Giants.
That's who they get down there?
Yeah, they get Jets and Giants in South Florida.
Why?
Because there's a lot of Florida transplants.
Well, why don't they get Dolphins and Bucks and Jaguars?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. That's bizarre. I didn't know that either. By the way, I'm gonna tell a secret here. This is my mother-in-law.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was gonna say nobody calls you Johnny.
She does.
I was gonna say there's something awry here.
And she and her
did you go visit her on this trip?
No, didn't know because they're in Boynton, which
what
is,
a bad boy.
Yeah, further down the right-handed side of the coast.
Uh-huh.
I'm over on the left-handed side of the
coast.
You
were in Tampa. That's right.
Yeah, I was in Tampa.
Okay.
So a little bit further away.
Yeah, it's a long drive from there.
But she's a big fan, big Patriots fan.
Yeah.
So is Jim. So, you know, they
because of
they
your miss... employment or
no,
pr-
no,
before
no,
then?
No, no, she's originally from here.
She's from here?
She's originally from here. So they moved to Florida 6-7 years ago full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father-in-law, Jim, he's, you know, huge Patriots fan.
Yeah.
You know, so what can I tell you? I wish I, you know, Cindy, I wish I could help you on that one. I did not even know that about South Florida. I really did not know that all you got was Jets and Giants.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Has to be a rule of some kind. You have to get the Dolphins games, right? I would think.
Well, yeah, and there were two other teams in Florida.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got Tampa.
And Jacksonville. I know they're not, I mean, Jacksonville's not a great team, but...
Well, they're closer. They're in between. You know, they're down there in the you know, West Palm, Fort Lauderdale area. So that's where
they're in between Miami and Jacksonville.
Right. So they're in between
Daytona area.
They would be closer to Miami. They're definitely in the Miami marketplace, I would think.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is very weird. All right, here we go. Let's take a little bit for a couple of minutes here before we bring Russell in. This Cleveland game on Sunday. There is no apparently Jake Delhomme at quarterback. Apparently is no
Seneca
Wallace.
Your guy.
So it looks as if, Colt McCoy
game in a row.
Is going to start his third game in a row. The
Come on now.
From Texas at quarterback. That's right. Actually performed pretty well week one, less so in week two, but the team won the game, you know, because they were able to come up with a bunch of mistakes. And and so, you know, they've actually, you know, played all right with him at quarterback. That being said, you know, can you do it 3 weeks in a row? What I know of Cleveland is that, you know, here's a team that, you know, Benjamin Watson is the leading receiver, the former Patriot tight end, leads them in receptions.
And yards?
Yards as well.
And receptions, right?
I believe that is correct. Yeah. Peyton Hillis at running back?
Is tearing it up every week against no matter what defense
but
tries
just like,
to stop him.
Peyton Hillis? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
I know. No, I like him coming out of the draft, but as a complimentary back, you know, didn't expect him to be a beast like he is.
You know, one of the you know top young offensive linemen in the game, and Joe Thomas, I suppose, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
they have some talent there, you know. But Josh Cribbs, haven't even mentioned his name.
No. Yeah, defensively.
Not a lot on defense to go on, though.
No, I mean, defensively, I mean,
Scott Fujita
is one of the names that I actually recognize.
Yep, because he was on the Super Bowl champion Saints last
year. Right, right, sure enough. T.J. Ward in the secondary at free safety.
Rookie from Oregon.
Ray Ventrone.
But he's, old buddy Ray.
But he's running second team there.
He'll probably see some
time,
though.
Some time, yeah. Right? I mean, it's largely a no-name defense. Eric Barton at inside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no-name defense if there ever was one.
Right.
I mean, talk about
right.
the Patriots having a no-name defense. Mm. So, all right, so I'm throwing out some names here, looking at this situation where Cleveland is concerned. Mm. We know it's Eric Mangini.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know
they've had a week off.
They've had a week off to prepare for the Patriots, so there's certainly familiarity. He's got some ex-Patriots and coaches on his
Brad
staff,
Seeley.
On his team. Brad Seeley is there. So I'm just kind of wondering now, I mean, you know, with the
familiarity
extra
Familiarity breeds contempt.
With the extra week that Cleveland has had to prepare, should this be a cause for concern?
Of course. Of course. I mean, I think every game this year is going to be a cause for concern for this team as far as it's going to, like we've said it before, it's going to be every game. They might end up at the final, you know, you're not going to get Miami games from a couple of weeks ago where the outcome was pretty much set earlier in the game. You might at the end of the game have a score that looks like a blowout, a 10, 14, 17 point win, but I don't think you're going to see too many of those, John. I think they're mostly going to be fourth quarter, last drive, team with the ball last play of the game, edge of your seat, biting your fingernails. They might even have another couple of overtime games left in them. I just four quarters might not be enough to solve some of these contests. It's going to be like that every week, just like it was in 2001, as you mentioned earlier, the comparison from 10 years ago. This week, I think that certainly is plausible because of those reasons you mentioned. I still think New England will win more handily than you would expect. Not completely, but I think they win 7 to 10 points. More toward 10, I think.
All right, so
and it might not be that way for most of the game. It might be close most of the game, and then at the end they finally get a little bit. But
what's your score?
30 to 20.
30 to 20?
New England.
Okay.
30 to 20.
Think the Browns score 20?
Yeah, but, I mean, it might be Josh Cribbs, a special teams return, maybe a defensive play. Who knows? I mean,
you know, really, I guess that's the one thing I suppose that I, you know, other than the fact they've had all the injuries at quarterback, you know, Cribbs and his returns this year is what really stands out to me about Cleveland.
Mm.
Right?
As has been the case the last few years with them.
Yeah.
Really.
So if that's really what you're hanging your hat on, I mean, wow,
but,
that's not a heck of a lot.
Yeah, but
it
is a road game for New England, and, you know, the Browns have played people tough, so, you know, and the way this year is going, the Mangini connection, it'll be a tough game, I think, for a few quarters, three quarters. I think in the fourth, New England will put it all together and come out with a good 10-point
victory. I don't think I trust them, the Patriots, to score 30 points, but I feel like going to put money on that score now that Eric nailed the score last week.
Well, I nailed how many points New England would get. I didn't nail the score.
Yeah.
I was a few points off on
that.
That
was pretty impressive.
Be more impressive if I had said 28-18. That would have really been impressive.
That's true. That would have been a good one.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one.
So, yeah, I think, and again, the New England's offense might not score 30 points. The team might score 30 points.
Right. So you thinking,
you know,
we could
defensive
get some help.
Play.
Yeah, defensive
special teams,
play. Special
you know, Brandon
teams.
Tate could be due for another kickoff return. Who knows?
Right.
But however they get the points, they get the points,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Okay. I'll hold off on my score then, but I'm kind of leaning your direction. Kind of leaning your direction.
Definitely a Patriots victory.
Yeah, I'm definitely going with the Pats win. I just I don't see them right now losing. It could happen, but I don't see them losing. I'm thinking probably closer to about 31-17, maybe a little larger victory margin.
Now you got less than an hour to decide.
Yeah, I know.
Finalize.
I got to work that. By the way, my mother-in-law sent another note.
Okay.
She's obviously listening.
She's listening. Sure.
She says about the Dolphins. We get them, but who wants them? I want the Pats. Well, that's spoken like a true Pats fan.
Yeah.
I think she just wants you. She wants you to do the show from her basement. That's the thing.
Give yourself a rim shot there for that.
Bonunch. My mother-in-law's basement.
Right.
All right, Eric Scalavino, PFW, and we'll
all right, my friend.
Have a safe trip to Cleveland.
Thank you. We'll see you next
Tuesday.
Wednesday. I'm not here Tuesday.
You're not
so.
Here Tuesday, that's right.
So I'll see you next
Tuesday.
Wednesday.
I'll see you next Wednesday.
All right, man.
All right, we'll pause here for a timeout. Then Russell Baxter from ESPN joins us in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Bill Sims from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines, Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how
How many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, hour number two, Inside Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com Radio. It is time now to welcome in the one and only Russell S. Baxter. Russell, how are you this week?
Hello, John. How are you? Are you flying solo or?
Well, Eric had to go upstairs to do his normal PFW duties writing, so he sends his best regards.
He ran away from you, Russell.
Yes, he ran away. No. He wouldn't skirt a good, you know, issue or a good conversation, believe me. So
yeah, I'm trying to think, are we ever going to get by a week where we don't talk about Randy Moss even though he's on a bye week?
How about this? Are you completely, I mean, I got to ask your level of surprise here that every week, and this is something that Eric actually is working on for next week's PFW, but every week it seems like there's a major news item that accompanies the Patriots playing a game. Oh, yeah, by the way, they're playing so-and-so this week. This week it happens to be Cleveland, but this week we had Randy Moss get cut by Minnesota. The thought process entered into the equation here that, you know, the Patriots could actually pick him up again. He doesn't do that. He goes on to Tennessee, and then, oh, yeah, Logan Mankins comes back. I mean, it's amazing the news items we get on a week-in and week-out basis.
I know. It actually been funny. Could you imagine when it was all said and done that the Viking you could actually put this in a headline.
Yeah.
Patriots trade Randy Moss to Minnesota for a third-round pick in Randy Moss.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah, I mean, if that would have happened and so on. But, I mean, they cut ties with him, obviously, for a reason. But, yeah, Logan Mankin's back. I mean, it's been a season of off the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's not just you know, the Patriots. I mean, the Vikings. Vincent Jackson's back, and he'll be back available to play in a couple of weeks. And Sean Merriman is now a Buffalo Bill, and it has been it's been a really odd season. Talking with a couple people this morning, you just don't have a sense and a feel of it. And yet, the steady ships, the Patriots, Steelers, Colts, just kind of keep streaming along. No matter who's in the lineup, who's hurt, who's not there. You know, I was making a joke this morning that, you know, on Monday, we were trying to figure out, is it Tam or Tammy?
Yeah.
Okay. And 8 minutes into the game, we knew it was Tammy because he scored a touchdown. Okay? It's the kind of year it's been. And I hope for the league's sake that it's not the last year for a while, because it's kind of like the final episode of Cheers. It's just not living up to expectations here, you know what I mean?
That's a pretty good analogy. I like it.
I love Cheers, but
yeah.
It's not fair, because why does the last show always have to be the best show? If the last show was the best show, you'd want it to come back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very true. You wouldn't want the last show to be the best show.
Now, listen, not everything can be finding the one-armed man in The Fugitive in the last show. Okay?
See, now, I like the fact that you're old enough to remember that.
Old enough watching it black and white. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's right.
You see The Fugitive around there, and they're like, gee, Harrison Ford looked great.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Oh, yeah, and by the way, I actually still own a black and white TV.
Yeah, do you really?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
I've had it on that, John.
Well, I've had it for a long time. It was something that I had back when... oh, gosh, I was right out of college, my first job in TV, and I didn't even own a television, and my first job in TV, and I didn't have a television for my apartment. And the weatherman who worked, you know, obviously, you know, with me, because I was working at a TV station in Waco, he said, well, I got an old one you can just have. And I think I ended up giving him like $30 for the thing.
And I'll bet it still works great.
It does. It does. Yeah. It still works.
Of course it does, because it was made with care.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's one of those good old U.S. of A. Magnavox things or whatever
Magnavox,
it was.
Magnavox, there you go.
Yeah. You know?
I know you're going to tell me GE, because nothing ever goes wrong with a GE.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
All right. Let's kind of look at this through, as we get ready to go into week 9. And what we were talking about on the opening hour of the program here is, and we've had you know, several people, because I've been away for a couple of days doing college football stuff, so people all want my take on, you know, the Patriots being 6-1 and having the best record in the NFL. And my initial reaction was, you know, would they be at the top of my power rankings? And I said, yes, but only by default. Because, you know, I'm not really quite sure still what to make of them, other than the fact that right now they have the best record in the NFL. So let me ask you this. Do you think the Patriots are the best team in the NFL?
Right now? Right now they are. They're the most resourceful.
Okay.
Okay? They win the games they're supposed to win, and they win games they're not supposed to win. And that's what a really, really good team is. And not everybody's done that this year. Okay? I mean, it's been a year that we see the defending Super Bowl champions lose at home to the Browns and then come back and beat the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the Rams turn their season upside down in a good way. We've seen the Raiders turn their season upside down in a good way. I will say this about the Patriots, obviously. This is probably less about the Patriots and more about the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the next 3 weeks, and you know what's coming.
Sure.
Gonna be real intriguing for the Patriots. And I don't mean this in a, that's why I'm saying the AFC and not the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? After this week, they go to Pittsburgh and then host Indianapolis. And I think that's what everybody's waiting for, because I think they're really waiting to see the Colts more than anything else. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the annual slugfest between these two, and as we just saw Monday night, Eric and you had great games Monday night, because Peyton Manning went out there with a third string running back.
Sure, sure.
Then to a fourth string running back when Mike Carr got hurt.
Yeah.
And the ninth string tight end, and carved apart Houston. I know Houston's not a great defense, but they still won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you want to shovel on anybody, listen, there's a reason the Colts have won 12 or more games 7 years in a row, have been in the playoffs 8 years in a row. There's a reason Bill Belichick hasn't had a losing season since 2000. These are the two top dogs. And those Steelers have snuck a couple Super Bowls in there. But as far as consistency goes, it's New England and Indy. And in a couple weeks, we're going to get to see it again. This time in New England. We haven't seen that in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen it in Foxborough in a while. And as far as the AFC goes, I think we're going to at least kind of sort some things out. And I know down the road Pittsburgh has Baltimore and the Jets and that kind of round robin.
Right.
And that's what it seems like around it. You've got, it's almost, it's like New England, I'm putting New England one, but it's almost like Indy, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Jets, 4-1-A's.
Okay.
Okay.
I buy that. Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Because we're not all sure how it's all going to pan out. Okay. And then, yeah, listen, the playoffs are all around, and then before we know it, it's going to be, you know, the Chiefs will be in the Super Bowl. Okay.
That would surprise me.
Well, that, right. Listen, I mean, I'm not sure how it is all going to wash, and that's what makes it fun. And we've seen that. Listen, we saw the Cardinals in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. We saw the Saints win it last year.
Yeah, that's true.
It is up. It's funny. It seems like more of the surprises come from the NFC than they do necessarily the AFC. Okay, if you really think about it, this has been the AFC. Going back to 2003, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's New England,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Indy,
right.
New England, Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
Indy.
Yeah.
The last 7 years, there's only three teams from the AFC have been in the Super Bowl.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, that's it. I mean, and if you go back to 2001, it's New England again, and Oakland sneaks in there.
Snuck in.
Meanwhile, the NFC is seemingly somebody different the whole time.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, that's why I point out the next 2 weeks with not to jump ahead a week, but obviously I am. They're almost kind of like the power circle there.
Yeah,
and New England is the tee up team,
right?
Going to Pittsburgh on Sunday night, and then the Sunday afternoon game, hosting the Colts.
Right.
So
entertaining the Colts, absolutely. Yeah. But we'll know a heck of a lot more, and then maybe again we won't in the next two weeks.
Yeah.
It could go either way as far as I'm concerned. All right, within the division this Sunday, first of all, Bears at the Bills. I almost feel sorry for Buffalo. I almost feel sorry for Buffalo. But at 0-7, and the Bears coming into town, why do I think that the Bills have a good shot here?
I do, too, and I'm going to have to correct you even on your own mindset. My guess, John, is that you feel sorry for the Bills 14 games out of the year.
Yes.
There you go. Okay.
Yes, pretty
much. Just make that clear.
Pretty much. Pretty much. No, that's accurate. You know
right.
me well. Yeah, that's accurate.
No, it's not a matter of knowing you well and so on, but...
Well, it's also a matter of figuring out, well, let's see, who gives Rook one of his many paychecks?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I happen to agree with you, though. I think last 2 weeks, heartbreaking overtime losses on the road to two first-place teams, the Ravens and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And, probably deserved a better fate in Baltimore even than last week.
No question.
And that being said, I can see it now. I don't know how loud that place is going to be because it doesn't seem like people are really migrating up to Toronto from Buffalo to see the game. Necessarily. And, last year I think it was a primetime game. It was a Thursday night game when the Jets played up there. But that being said, what's the over-under and Cutler picks and sacks allowed? And, the Bears who started 3-0 are now 1-3 in their last four games. They lost, those two in a row at home. They've had 2 weeks to get ready for this, but I don't know. Does that mean they changed their offense? Jay Cutler has been, whether it's the offensive line's fault or his fault, he's getting sacked a lot. He's throwing the ball carelessly. We saw the Redskins game, which was, he probably put D'Angelo Hall in the Pro Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I agree. Ryan Fitzpatrick's played well.
Sure has.
They've run the ball fairly consistently and, pop the cork or, pull the, pull tab off your soda. There will be, the Lions will not be celebrating that 0-16.
I think maybe as I can sit here and consider it, I think, the one thing that really kind of tells me the Bills might win is the fact that it is in Toronto, that it would just be perfect if the Bills were actually to go 0-7 at home but win in Toronto.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They were winless in the United States and maybe went 1-15.
Yeah, right.
And
they win the one game
in North America.
In North America, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So.
That would be typical.
I think Buffalo gets its first win. I'm just, I just,
You know? I do too. Just a hunch. I do too. I agree with you. Jets playing at the Lions. So the Patriots get a little bit of a sneak preview of maybe what's in store for them on Thanksgiving Day, having to play the Lions again on the traditional early Turkey Day game. But the Jets totally and completely stunned me with a 9-0 egg they laid last week against Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think it was the zero, not based on the what the Jets did per se. And by the way, I mean if you are friends of mine at the game were, you know, pretty blustery, and you know, Aaron Rodgers' numbers weren't much better than Mark Sanchez's numbers. I mean, Sanchez, I know, threw two picks, but they were almost wrestling picks. You know, ball steal, you know, defender stealing balls, you know, before they hit the ground or even on the ground, it seemed like.
Right.
But the, you know, the windward conditions, but it was the shutout because we know how banged up Green Bay's defense is. That could, you know, to reverse it for a second, I think that could turn out to be a gut check turning point game for the Green Bay Packers. The fact that they were able to go and pull that off, because they have been so racked by injuries, you know, a lot of key personnel and so on. They managed to win a game without scoring a touchdown. I mean, the Jets have lost two games this year and given up 19 points, and that's two losses.
Right, right.
They lost a 10-9 and a 9-0.
Right.
So it was like two softball games.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I have wavered back and forth on this because the one thing I've seen from the Lions this year that you haven't seen, well, first off, their defense is still a question mark. Their defensive line is not. Corey Williams and Dominican Sue, Kyle Van Der Bosch, boy, do they bring it. This is a fun team to watch. And I would not be surprised if the Lions pulled this off, to be honest with you.
No kidding.
Yeah, listen, they play with confidence. A lot more confidence than they had is because they are better in the trenches. I will say this, though. Mark Sanchez can take aim at a secondary that is pretty bad. And if they can keep him clean, which this is a good Jets offensive line, and stay balanced and keep Ndamukong Suh and the line off balance, then I think they'll pick the Lions apart because, again, their secondary is not very good at all. But I wouldn't be stunned. I mean, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Jets have... The Jets have more ways to beat you, and so that's why I'm leaning that way. I think the Lions can't beat you with their defense, not unless they take four picks and return them all the way. So I'm going to take the Jets here, and I think maybe rebound with that running game. I could see them putting up a double C note on the Lions. I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Well, the one thing that impressed me about the Lions is that in their losses, two of their first four losses, they scored 32 against Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They scored 26 at Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. And they scored, score points.
They and they scored they 20 at the Giants.
And they listen, they weren't. They've also scored points for three different quarterbacks this year, too.
That's true.
Okay, even Drew Stanton came in there. I wouldn't say he was okay, but,
right.
I mean, they didn't completely fall apart. And Sean Hill was terrific when he was in there. He made his mistakes, but they scored points. They play with a lot more confidence. I mean, they're not driven by Matthew Stafford. They're driven by a lot of better players. But like I said, their secondary is a major weakness. And at any one time, I could see a bombs away from Braylon Edwards, if he doesn't drop it,
mm-hmm.
or Santonio Holmes at any one time. And I think Sanchez and company will bounce back. Listen, you know what's funny? I've gone 8 weeks into the season. It's the only shutout pitched all year in the league.
Right.
Last week.
Right.
So it's harder than you think to shut out a team in this day and age. But that being said, I think the Jets rebound, but I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit pulled off an upset here.
Okay. Dolphins playing at the Ravens. I think this is one that'll probably catch my attention as well as a lot of others' attentions. Certainly the Ravens are 5-2. They're 3-0 at home. Dolphins are 4-0 away.
Yes.
And they are on the road, so that leads you to believe the Dolphins are going to be in this game.
No, they might as well just chalk up a win now. Okay. They're the only team in the league not trying to play for home field advantage.
It's one of the more bizarre. There have been a lot of bizarre things this season.
Right.
That's one of them.
And listen, it's not like the weather's been that great in Miami.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like I said, they're hoping to maybe not get home field. And, you know, listen, obviously they want to get into the playoffs. You know, they're a very unpredictable team. And, you know, they're funny because they play kind of a desperate Cincinnati team, and I guess Cincinnati wasn't desperate enough.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about Miami, though, can move the ball. They do okay. They always managed to get in the end zone twice in the last 2 weeks. They've kicked 10 field goals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you're going to need more than field goals to beat the Ravens. And, you know, listen, the last time we saw Baltimore 2 weeks ago, gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points to the Bills, which I think stunned people. I know it did me. But take this for what it's worth. I don't even know what this means. The Ravens went into that game with five takeaways. Ed Reed came back, and they had four takeaways in the game.
Right.
And he had two of them. He had two picks.
Right.
And, you know, Ed Reed isn't your classic, you know, knock-you-over safety, hard-hitting safety. He's a ball-hawking safety. He's about as good a ball-hawker as you'll ever see. And they seem to play with a lot more confidence last week. Although that being said, or 2 weeks ago, Buffalo really gave them a lot. I think the thing that stunned me was that, remember, Baltimore took the lead in that game, and Buffalo was able to come back and tie it and send it in overtime. I think that surprised me as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That being said, again, I don't think Baltimore's defense usually has been with it, but they're coming off a bye. And Cincinnati, you know, I'm sorry, Miami, after the Cincinnati game, goes back on the road again. And I think that kind of, which tells me that Miami loses at Baltimore and then finally wins a home game the next time they play at home.
Yeah, right.
So.
Okay, I buy that.
But I have to lean toward Baltimore. I don't think there's any question about it.
Right. There are actually several, you know, pretty decent or look, you know, intriguing looking games this weekend. I'm just going to touch on a couple here. One that I didn't think I would touch on, but I want to simply because I'm old school, as you well know. Chiefs at the Raiders. 5-2, 4-4 Raiders, 3-1 at home. I know Patriots fans are hoping that the Raiders get blown out every time, but they've been disappointed the last few weeks because the Raiders have not even been close to getting blown out. The Raiders have actually been very, very competitive.
They've been doing the blowing.
Yeah, they've actually done that, and so I'm wondering now, how legit are the Raiders?
Well, here's what I'll say about them, okay? By the way, 500-plus yards of offense the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Each game,
yep.
Okay?
Yep.
You want to talk about the consistency of a game plan, okay? Every game the Raiders have played this year, which is eight, they've run the ball at least 25 times, and they've got at least 100 yards rushing. Not sure what that means. I know they're second in the league in rushing all of a sudden, and they're getting a real bounce-back breakthrough, whatever you want to call it, from Darren McFadden. Okay? Funny thing is, they're playing the number one rushing team in the league, with Jamal Charles and Thomas. Is it funny? Thomas Jones was on the number one rushing team with the Jets last year.
Right.
He goes to Kansas City. They're now the number one rushing team.
Yeah, funny how that happens.
Yeah, and I think the one biggest key here is Mancastle, who has been much improved the last three or four games, although they, you know, they're a little ugly last week, but still managed to avoid an interception. They've done a good job keeping him clean. The Kansas City Chiefs' sacks allowed are way down than they were. Now, part of that is, of course, they run the ball more, but part of it is I think their offensive line is playing better. Romeo Crennel has done a great job with their defense as well. A real intriguing game. Another intriguing game is you look at the Raiders, who went into this season, I believe, 8-34 in the division the last 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and are 2-0 in the division this year, beating Denver and beating San Diego, where they hadn't beat since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of leaning toward the Chiefs. I picked the Raiders to win the division, which means they're going to have to go back and win at Kansas City later in the year. But, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen a meaningful on both ends of the spectrum, Kansas City Raiders game. And, you know, the way these two teams run, this game, I think, starts at what, 4:15 Eastern time?
Yes.
Should be done about 6.
And that's not the way the Chiefs and Raiders used to play the game.
No, not at all. Not at all. I get the funny feeling. I just wouldn't be surprised. You might see a little old Chiefs Raiders on the 2 minute drill.
I know.
Sports Center this week. Hunch.
Yeah, I want to watch. I got to watch some of this game just because it has the makings of an old school matchup. It's a little different, and it'll take me back to the 1970s again, which is always good for about 2 minutes.
Well, listen, the Raiders have been down for a long time. There's some youngins out there who don't know the Raiders were a good team for about 30 something years.
Yeah, that's true.
you know?
That's very true. I mean, hey, there are a lot of kids out there that think John Madden's the video guy, too.
That's extremely true.
Right. The other game, we're a couple of weeks away, but the Colts impressed me a heck of a lot in their win over the Texans, even though I know it was at home. But they got to go on the road now and take on a Philadelphia team that's got to be scratching and clawing to survive in the NFC East. Do we get a clearer picture, in your estimation, of how legitimate the Colts are fighting through their own injury problems here?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we get a glimpse of how legitimate the Eagles are.
That's true, too.
As well. I mean, they're 4-3. The last time we saw them, Tennessee pummeled them in the fourth quarter. In a close game, got, you know, turned into an 18-point loss really, really fast. You know? So, I mean, let's see what we get here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is only the second time Michael Vick and Peyton Manning hook up against each other. And, you know, Michael Vick comes back this week for the Eagles, coming off their bye. And, you know, both teams can certainly air it out. I mean, Peyton Manning's your consummate pocket passer. We know what Michael Vick can do. Neither one of these teams plays extraordinary defense, although I thought the Colts were very physical on Monday night against Houston. I think Houston might even be a little surprised at how physical the Colts were.
Mm-hmm.
Short week going to Philly. Another tough call, but as far as the fun game of the weekend, I think this is it. As far as the fun game,
okay.
I think you got to score at least 24 to win this game.
I would agree with that. Yeah,
yeah, I think
probably more.
Yeah, probably more. But I think you got to get at least 24. This is not going to be 17-13. It might be before the national anthem, but it won't be 17-13.
Yeah,
and you know. I almost want to lean toward the Colts, although it's a short week and they're traveling. But I think I'm kind of feeling like this is a good spot for the Eagles here. And something they probably need more than the Colts, as much as the Colts, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a short week. And the Colts, I don't know how banged up Mike Hart is. I mean, they are really hurting at running back. And again, we saw what the Colts can do with other guys. But, you know, I think maybe a short week with injuries, it's maybe just not a good week for the Colts. So I'm going to lean toward the Eagles here.
Okay. Seems like we got a million teams that have got 5 wins. We got a lot of them, it seems like. Matchup of 5-2 teams, the Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. Bucks, here's the intriguing part. Not only are both teams 5-2, but the Bucks are 3-0 away. The Falcons are 3-0 at home.
Yeah, and... Mike Smith, since he took over the Falcons, has been great at home. Exemplary record by the Falcons at home. You know, Tampa Bay, and you go back to last year, and, you know, you always – one of the things that always drives me crazy is hearing, you know, fans of respective teams wanting to lose games at the end of the year to get higher draft picks. It will always bother me. It's absurd. It's nutty. Here were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sitting at 1-12 last year, certainly trying to line themselves up to get the first pick in the draft. But they go to Seattle – and win a game on the road. And then they go to New Orleans and fall behind 17-0 early. I think it was even in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints, it wasn't a Saints resting game. It was the Saints still trying to get home field advantage in the NFC game. Bucks came back and won the game in overtime, 20-17. So since being 1-12, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 7-3. Their quarterback, Josh Freeman, who last year in the 10 games he played, coughed up the ball 20 times with sacks and interceptions. I'm sorry, with the interceptions and fumbles lost.
Right.
He's turned over the ball 3 times in 7 games this year.
Right.
And then once, I can't explain what this means, and this isn't all 2-minute drill stuff, but he is 8-8 as a starter now. And using the premise that his team trailed or was tied in the fourth quarter or overtime, and he gave his team the lead to stay, 6 of his 8 wins have come in the fourth quarter.
Hmm. Wow.
That being said, it's on Atlanta's turf. They're awful tough.
Yeah.
The times we've seen Tampa lose, they've lost bad. I'm not saying they're going to lose bad here. But boy, I was real impressed with them last week. They were ahead 31-14. They fell behind 35-31 at Arizona and made the plays and came back and won the game. And it always seems it's not just Josh Freeman. One week it's Mike Williams, the rookie from Syracuse. Or it's LeGarrette Blount.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody realize who that was last week?
Yeah, kind of thought
so. We only
know
LeGarrette Blount for 2 reasons.
Taking a whack at somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, even took kind of a little whack at somebody in Tennessee training camp this year, I believe, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
But that's what he's known for, unfortunately. Right. Maybe not fair, but that's – if I said LeGarrette Blount to you, you're not saying, oh, he's the guy who Now he might be the guy you know that we jumped over the Cardinals defender last week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm going to take Atlanta here, but I don't think we should sell Tampa short. I hear people like, well, who have they beat? Well, they're 5-2. Who's anybody beaten this
year? Yeah, that's
right.
They've beaten
the
teams.
This isn't the BCS. Yeah. It's the NFL.
Right. Exactly. Let me give you a chance also to plug the Monday night game on ESPN. Steelers at the Bengals. Certainly got some interest here because the Steelers will be the next opponent after the Cleveland Browns. Monday night football. And they got to go on the road to play a Cincinnati team that probably ranks up there with the Dallas Cowboys in terms of overall disappointments in the NFL.
Well, yeah. I mean, this was a team last year is one of the better stories. And 6-0 in the division last year. And, you know, it's funny because after they beat Baltimore in the second week of the season, after the bad performance against New England, they seem like they'll be okay. They beat Carolina the week after that, and they haven't won since. And now 2-5, and Terrell Owens having a good year. you know, they run into a Steelers team that can't be happy with even the way they played last week at New Orleans. And listen, the Steelers are in the middle of a three-game road trip. Yeah, so that's tough for any team. If Pittsburgh's what we think they are, not to steal from Denny Green, I think they bounce back here and maybe put a very disappointing Cincinnati team out of its misery for the year. The thing that strikes me is Cincinnati's defense was a big calling card for them last year. They've been subpar. You know, they have 6 sacks in 7 games. It's not all about sacks, I understand that, but they're getting no pressure on the passer whatsoever. And it's funny, when Carson Palmer puts up big numbers, it's seemingly in losing efforts, not winning efforts. This I will say, I said this about the Saints game last week, it turned out to be true. Pittsburgh to me is still a little shaky in the fourth quarter, defensively. And, you know, it's funny, their defensive unit, and this is various reasons, okay? Their defensive unit, and it could be because they're ahead or behind or whatever. Their defensive unit has given up 8 touchdowns in 7 games. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's solid.
6 of them have come in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Now, some of those is because they've had the game in hand, but last week was not that case. The Baltimore game was not that case.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the way they play late, be it the bend but don't break, you know, whatever you want to call it, the Steelers need to come out here and send a message that they're not going to go into a little funk here. Especially with New England waiting on the horizon next week.
Right.
So
right.
I'm going to take the Steelers here. I think it's going to be a tough game, though, because I think Cincinnati, well, you would think they were playing for their lives already, but they certainly haven't acted this way. But if they don't act this way, then they have no life.
By the way, I just want to make mention, I'm sitting here with NFL Network on the monitor. I want to mention how much I miss the throwback St. Louis Rams uniforms. The actual blue and yellow gold.
Yeah, they wore them last week against Carolina.
I didn't realize how much I actually missed them. Like those uniforms.
They
look like Cub Scouts.
Well, I was going to say they look like Tulsa. That's not a shock on Tulsa. I'm just talking about the color scheme.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tulsa. It was actually like watching the Tulsa-Notre Dame game last week, and they ran into each other.
Yeah, well, you know what? It reminds me, though, of the Los Angeles Rams. That's why when I look up there, I'm, you know, being the old-school kind of guy that I know that you are, that's what it reminded me of, seeing that the yellow, gold, and the blue again. So.
Well, I mean, as people may or may not know, the first team to ever put an insignia on their helmets.
Well, the Rams.
The Rams.
Yes. Yes. I actually did know that bit of trivia. Shocking, but that was one I did know. All right,
of course, the Steelers did it too, but they never finished. They only put the logo on one side.
Yeah, and do we understand, do we ever get the reason why they put logo on one side?
I've heard 3 different stories and 2 I can't repeat.
All right, we'll have to share another time then.
Okay.
And then that brings us to the Patriots at the Browns. Obviously, it's a 1 o'clock Eastern time kickoff on CBS. Is there any reason at all for the Patriots or Patriots fans to be concerned here?
Well, concerned about what?
Concerned about possibly losing this game.
Well, listen, I'm being flip here. But
I know you are.
I will say this. The Browns have played pretty respectable defense this year.
Yeah.
And in the 2 games we've seen Colt McCoy, he's played pretty heads-up football.
Yes, he has.
Okay, so the one thing you do see is this is a sounder organization team-wise. Okay? Be that Eric Mancini, be that Mike Holmgren. You know, probably credit to both. But this looks like a sounder team. They started out obviously shaky, and there was higher expectations this year after the way they closed last year. But, you know, we have seen what Bill Belichick has done to young quarterbacks, and it looks like it's going to be Colt McCoy. I will say this, if the Browns get a little confidence here, Peyton Hillis has been a bull. He'll run about just about anybody over.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't the Browns don't score enough points unless there's, I mean, they scored 30 points against the Saints. It was two interception returns. Their punter had a 68-yard run. They had another trick play. I mean, they could try and razzle-dazzle their way into this game. I mean, that's always a possibility. But I find it hard to believe that New England is not going to be. Listen, they're just steady along here. And, you know, let everybody just not pay attention. Now that they're 6-1, though, I think, you know, with the best record in the league, I think eyes are certainly up. And especially in a year where we don't know who's great. Who knows? Maybe no great team wins the Super Bowl this year. Okay? Maybe it's just not going to be a great year.
Do we need to have a great team
win
the Super Bowl?
No, rules stipulate that somebody's going to win it.
Right.
Rules stipulate that 12 teams are going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Rules teams that there will be playoff games, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea that every year the greatest team ever has to win the Super Bowl, I mean, that kind of bit. Listen, to me, the really last great team, and I'm talking about great, balanced, top to bottom, efficient, were the 04 Patriots. Okay? Mm-hmm. I thought they were a great team. They could run, they could pass, they could play defense. Did they win every game? No, they were 14-2. Oops.
Yeah.
Okay? But they got in the playoffs, and they dominated the Colts, okay? And they dominated the Steelers in Pittsburgh. You know, they only play Super Bowls one way, so it's not like they dominated the Eagles. But from top to bottom, I mean, they were a really good team that year. And what have we seen since then? We've seen a couple wild card teams win the Super Bowl. Very opportunistic Saints team. You know, the miracle of the Giants. You know, the big comeback late in the game by the Steelers. You know, Colts in the rain. Again, I'm not trying to slight anybody. But you're talking about great and you're talking about really good. And it takes, you got to have a really good year, obviously, to win the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But we haven't seen a really great team. And I'm not saying they're one of the greatest of the Super Bowl teams. So I also know, to me, they're easily the best of the Colts, of the Patriots' three Super Bowl champions. But, I mean, you're talking about a team that you week in and week out, you knew what you were going to get. You get Corey Dillon and Tom Brady and a, you know, a veteran-laden defense that was going to make plays. That was a really, real, almost unsung. I think unsung because they only won the Super Bowl by three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's been a while since we've seen greatness. We shall see what happens this year. But I think the Pats go to 7-1, and then let the fun begin.
And the fun will begin. We'll be at the halfway point. We can actually utter the P word, playoffs.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Once we get past the halfway point, that's right. Right. Russell, thanks. You went overtime today. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Oh, that's all right. I'll submit a timesheet.
I hope you do. We'll make sure we stick it to the ownership around here.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. Talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend. You betcha. All right. Russell S. Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator for the ESPN Television Networks, ESPN Radio, and all things that are the entertainment and sports programming leader. There you go. All right, let's sneak in another timeout, come back and finish up with some emails, some other facts and figures to pass along as the Pats get ready for the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks. really tall ladders?
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
As we wrap up here on Patriots Playbook for Thursday, I'm somewhat amused. Look at my Facebook page here. The conversation going on my Facebook page between Adam and Derek. They've shared 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 posts between
you're
the two
a popular
of them.
Guy.
I'm not included in the conversation.
Well, get
fellas,
in there and interrupt.
There's a such thing as a message board for this stuff, right?
Show a little courtesy.
It's all right. It's all right, fellas. Just giving you the business. Adam had sent me.
Isn't that your job, though? Sorry to interrupt you.
It
you're,
is.
You're sparking and spurring on
I am,
conversation.
I am. That's exactly my job.
That's a good thing.
It's always a good thing. And Adam sent me a post who said, all I'm going to say is imagine this team after this year's draft. And then he and Derek go back and forth, you know, basically, I guess, weighing the various merits of who to select, who they should select. So, you know, that's fine. I got to tell you, though, based on past history, I don't think I get too carried away one way or the other, fellas. Because I think we all know that, you know, while we got to feel like, you know, you're going to keep both of the first rounders and, you know, you got a feeling that, you know, with all the ammo they still have, what is it now? 7 picks in the first 4 rounds, even after, you know, getting rid of a pick. You got to feel like there's still going to be some trade bait for somebody somewhere. And a lot of it depends on whether or not we actually have football to play in 2011. And that actually is going to kind of lead me into my next post here because John down in South Carolina sent this to, he says, Dear Rook and Morrissey, really, with all the things going on in the NFL and with the Patriots, the thing you choose to talk about is the possible lockout next season? Dear Christ, please stop with the tortured artist. Woe is me. Everything is black crap. He says, Eric's new Delta Tall Kai name is Eeyore.
That's good.
I like that. That's actually funny. That's funny, John. So here's the game question. Who will emerge by the end of the year as our number one choice at receiver? Eeyore. What? You can just see him with his head down, you know, kind of like going, well, I don't know about that.
What do you think, Winnie?
What do you think, Winnie?
What do you think, Pooh? You got to find an Eeyore sound clip.
We're gonna have to bring that up to Eric next week.
You got
to
find an Eeyore sound clip, and then you can debut it next week on the show. All right, got to find some Eeyore. If you got some Eeyore audio, you can email it to Kevin. He says, "All right, who will emerge by the end of the year as our number one choice at receiver? Number one guy, number one being the guy who stretches the field: Deion Branch, Brandon Tate, or Hernandez? My choice right now would be Aaron Hernandez. I think that he's still more of a wideout slash H-back than really a tight end. He's sort of the new breed of tight end, which is a lighter, faster, maybe more mobile tight end. So if I had to choose between the three, I'd say right now Hernandez. But that doesn't mean, you know, Branch won't be around. It doesn't mean that Tate can't end up being that kind of guy, because he certainly made a great comeback play for that 65-yarder from Brady on Sunday. Did he not? Yes, he did. But I'll take Hernandez as part of the choices there. Matt, Brooklyn Matt, sends this. He says, "John, you said you were just starting out in Waco years ago and you had no TV. Yeah, that's because your leader, David Koresh, didn't allow you to have one in your room at the Branch Davidian complex." Okay, very good. Actually, believe it or not, you want to know the truth, the absolute truth, Brooklyn Matt? The absolute truth is that I was in Waco before the Branch Davidians. Okay? All right. Just wanted you to know that. That's how old I am. And says, "Andy, where you been? Doing West Virginia football games again?" No, actually, I was in Tampa last night doing Rutgers and South Florida. Says, "John, I have a question. When you survey the crowd at those games, does it look like a scene out of Deliverance?" Actually, you know what? West Virginia's fans are as rabid as any you're going to find, and their athletic department takes great care of us. They really step up. It's big time, and I'd be proud to have my son go to school there. It's actually a nice campus, good college town, good programs. I think it'd be a good spot. Be a good spot. But Brooklyn Matt says, "There's some Brooklyn-style humor for you. That's what you get for leaving us high and dry for a freaking week. Welcome back." You're welcome, Brooklyn Matt. It's good to hear from you there, buddy. I wasn't gone for a freaking week. It was gone for 2 days. And it wasn't my choice. I wasn't going to leave until later on Tuesday, but then they moved my flight up, so I had to move in the afternoon. And then I had to sit in I had to sit at BWI for 4 hours. Thanks, Southwest Airlines. Ooh, I wasn't going to say that. I just did.
Well, you can say that, because we're the American Airlines Patriots Radio Network, so you can badmouth them. It's all right.
They put me on Southwest, and Southwest, and it's one of the few times they've actually screwed it up, but they screwed this up big time. Made us sit there for 4 hours. Didn't even make an effort. We said, "Well, what about bringing another plane?" "Well, no, we don't think we can do that."
Should have gone with the AA.
Probably should have. Although you can't fly AA out of Providence anymore now. You got to go to Logan.
No.
I live closer to
Green. I think you're right.
AA pulled out of Providence. So yeah. I'm like, well, I'm bumming. Because I've got miles that I still have to use. So I have to go to Logan now to fly American Airlines. Sucks.
Should write a letter.
I'm going to. A lot of good it'll do, but I'm going to write a letter anyway.
It always makes me feel better. A good angry letter.
Here's a good one. Adam just Facebooked me. He said, "Well, at least your bags went free." Good one!
He actually had, remember the UK Pats fans
last
week?
And by the way, I really enjoyed meeting those guys. They're a crazy bunch.
One of them, the poor guys, one of their bags stayed in London.
No.
But
what did he
I
do
think
all
they eventually,
week?
They eventually got it while they were here. American went and they had it shipped over for him at least.
Well, that's cool. I hope those guys all had a good time. They saw a great game anyway. Derek, via Facebook. "John, just tuned in. The Patriots are the best team in the league for multiple reasons. They might not be the best team in terms of talent, but their mental toughness, strong discipline, and fundamentally sound playing style is superior to everyone in the NFL. That is a testament to Bill Belichick and the coaches for preparing the team and players for executing. The only concern with this team in my mind is that the young players could struggle with consistency down the stretch, but they certainly are playing great football right now and improving every week." Well, Derek, you could come on here and be a guest analyst, because I think you're kind of spot on with that particular assessment. You know, that's actually pretty accurate. In fact, I'd say very accurate. So good job out of you, Derek. Way to go. This one comes from Mary Beth, who castigated me. She chastised me earlier for, "You should be ashamed picking the Vikings over the Pats last week like I did." Well, at least I man up to it, Mary Beth, okay? I do admit my mistakes when I make them. God knows I make them a lot. Just ask the significant
come
woman.
Come after me!
Yeah.
I'm a man!
I'm 40! I love that. It's one of my all-time favorite rants. God, I love that. That's just like, that's got to be in the Hall of Fame of rantdom.
You are the man. You're owning up to it.
That's right. I'm trying to, anyway. And then she says, the Fox coverage of the game was horrible. The only thing we saw were people passed out in the crowd. No cheerleaders, no costumes, nothing. Really? You know, I've heard a lot of criticisms about Fox's coverage this year, that it has been subpar for the most part. Anybody else see that, or anybody else find that as odd, or anybody else also, you know, care to weigh in on that? And this is just from, you know, not so much from Patriots fans, but from just football fans in general, how they kind of feel like Fox's coverage has been subpar, that they, you know, with all due respect to the announcers, and I'm kind of putting the announcer stuff all away because we all have our likes and dislikes about their regular announce crews. But their camera coverage, their directorial shots, their choices of what they do, you know, for themes during the game and the graphics that go along to give you sort of a common theme to the broadcast have been just, shall we say, odd choices this year. Yeah, Derek says, anytime you want me in the studio, I'll fly out. Where are you coming from, Derek? Where do you live? Fill me in. See if we can't make that happen for you at one of these days. He's going to send me. Okay. This is our friend Derek at the University of Arizona. Okay. Now I'm putting two and two together. All right. Excellent. Zona is a Zona guy. You do a good job, Eric. You got Derek. You got pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. All right. Bob from Plainfield is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Bob, what's up, Dan?
Hey, not too bad. I love your station, guys. I got to tell you that.
Thanks, pal.
Hey, not a problem. Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Go.
I've been a Patriot fan for a number of years now. How far do you think the Patriots will go this year?
Well, in all honesty, you know, I think the sky's the limit. But the way, as bizarre as this team has been all season long, you know, and as bizarre, really, as this whole season has been, it wouldn't surprise me to see them, you know, miss the playoffs. So I don't think that they will at this stage of the game at 6-1, but right now nothing would surprise me. They've got the best record in the league. Do I think they're a Super Bowl contender? They're probably one of about a half a dozen right now. And we mentioned earlier in the show, in a couple of weeks, we could probably see another four or five teams join that list, or we could see three or four of the teams drop off of that list.
Well, I have to agree with you there. I have a comment on Randy Moss.
Okay.
You know, Randy, in my opinion, is one heck of a wide receiver, but he brings too much drama to the table. What's your opinion on the Tennessee Titans picking him up?
Well, I think that was a good move by Tennessee. You know, they need somebody to stretch the field. I think Chris Johnson probably is the one that's cheering more than anybody else. Simply because, you know, what Randy does do is he does allow, you know, to take defensive backs with him, therefore, in theory, sort of thinning out the middle. We've seen that. Wes Welker hasn't been quite as open as he was before Randy, you know, when Randy was here. So that's adjustment, obviously, the Patriots are having to make right now and will continue to make for the rest of this season. So I do think that Tennessee will have a little bit more of a wide-open feel to it on offense, and it'll give them more versatility, and you might see them a little bit more explosive, whether the ball goes to Randy or not. I think it's a good move. I think it's a little bit of a stunner that 21 teams actually passed on him before the Titans took him.
I got one more thing for you, and I'll let you go.
Shoot.
There's a rumor having it that the government is going to bump up the retirement age to 70. Hello, Brett.
That's a good one. I like that. I think that was a joke. Was that supposed to be a joke, Milo, you think?
It was slow in developing, but in the end,
it was just
it was okay.
It was a nice rim shot.
It
right
wasn't bad.
Yeah. Hello,
it
Brad.
Wasn't bad. You know, I mean, delivery not ideal, but I think the effort was there.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
Not bad.
I don't mind it.
Hi, my name is Bob. Do you think they have a chance in winning the Super Bowl? I don't know. Let's put that one to Bilo. What do you
think? The Patriots?
I assume he means Patriots.
I think there's about 22 teams that have a chance to win the Super Bowl. As
22?
As you just said, it's a bizarre year.
I would say 6 to 10 now.
I mean, 22 is probably exact. But yeah. here's the truth. I think, what's today, November 4th?
Yes.
I think on December 4th, much like on October 4th, you'll have a completely different perspective of the league as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, a month ago, the Patriots were sitting at, what, 2-1 probably? They actually, you know, I think they played Miami on October 4th
right.
to go to 3-1. And you're like, okay, maybe they're this is a big game. They win a playoff game. Now you're looking at them as the best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I just think things change so much in the NFL. We just got to see if some of these upstart teams like, you know, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, are they for real? And maybe now that we're in the second half or about to enter the second half of the season, we'll see if they're for real. The Patriots absolutely have a chance to win the Super Bowl, but it's not like they're only one of three or four teams. They're one of probably, we could probably say 10 or 12.
Well, I'm just going to count right off the top of my head. Bucks, Falcons, Bears, Patriots, Jets, that's five.
Yep, Steelers, Ravens.
Steelers, Ravens, six, seven, Saints, eight.
Did you say the Colts?
I haven't yet. Dolphins, nine. Texans 10, Giants 11, Chiefs 12, Colts 13, Eagles 14, Packers 15. Should I go on?
Yeah, well, I mean, these are probably all teams that are over 500, I'd say. I mean,
yes.
And how, can you rule any of them out?
No.
Truly, in the NFL, it truly comes down to your momentum in the month of December going into
right.
January, your yeah. injury situation, just as much as the talent on your roster.
Right.
So, sure, the Patriots have a chance. I think they have as good a chance as anyone else, but there are a lot of others in that anyone else category, I'd say. So.
All right. Well, see, there you go. You got all these teams that still have a shot. We got, yeah. you know, half the season to go.
And the Patriots, after Cleveland, the Patriots play a handful of them in one tough stretch,
correct.
You know, in Pittsburgh and Indy and the Jets again. So,
correct.
It's going to be a real interesting 2 months coming up.
All right. Fantasy Lowdown.
Fantasy Lowdown. Again, talking about what kind of impact Randy Moss can have on a brand new team. talking about, you know, the Patriots Vikings game, which was really interesting fantasy wise and, you know, Favre and Harvin and those guys going forward. And we're going to talk to Greg Rosenthal of RotoWorld.com and also ProFootballTalk.com. I figure, you know, we reference his phenomenal rankings just about every week.
Right.
Why not have him on every now and then?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we've had him on before. He brings excellent news and perspective, so we'll be talking to him at about 4:15.
Excellent. All right, Fantasy Lowdown is upcoming. So thanks, folks, for sticking with AK-47 on Tuesday and Chris Price from WEEI.com yesterday. And, you know, hey, this time of year when college football really kicks into gear, it kind of makes my schedule a little bit screwy. College basketball actually enters into the equation for me this month as well, so... you're still going to get another shot here, Kev. You know that, right? It's coming in a couple of weeks.
Andy and I will be ready.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But thanks to you, the listener, who, you know, thought enough of me to give me crap on Facebook website and say, where the hell are you? I'm here, and I'll be back same patch time, same patch channel next Tuesday.
Bright side, you've made ER even bouncier than you.
Bouncier than me? I've created a donkey monster.
Ho, 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 ho. Hey, buddy bear. Wanna play with me?
No, thank you, Eeyore. Every time we play, I wind up getting trounced.
Ho, ho, ho.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines, Patriots.com. Radio.